was well known that Vaughan Williams wrote some music for the Greek plays. The manuscripts are documented in the published catalogue, and Ursula's great biography of RVW makes reference to the visits from Isadora Duncan. Probably doesn't have so much to say, I think, about the music that he wrote, partly at her behest. It was a complicated story, and it took a good deal of research because you've got to look at Gilbert Murray, who, like Vaughan Williams, was a member of the Order of Merit at the end. He was a professor of Greek very early in Glasgow and then went to Oxford. And he was a very distinguished Hellenist and very well known in his day. He was one of the founders of the League of Nations. In the early years of the 20th century, he more or less single-handedly generated a revival in the plays of Euripides by publishing rhyming English translations, and these became really very popular. Euripides had written the plays in the 5th century BC, some 2,500 years earlier. So you've got these plays, they called for music as the original plays did, and the music that was generally used in England around that time was by S.P. Waddington, the composer I don't know very much about. I need to read more about him. I know he was a chum of Vaughan Williams. Vaughan Williams wrote his obituary, actually, for, I think, the Royal College of Music Journal when he died, quite a bit later. But there was a feeling that this music wasn't satisfactory. Henry Haddow was keen that there should be some other music and recommended Vaughan Williams to Murray. At the same time, you've got the dancer, Isadora Duncan. She'd been dancing a lot to music by Gluck, and she wanted to dance to these Greek plays. She was very keen on all things Greek. Her family had tried to establish a Greek temple at some early stage. She was away with the fairies some of the time, but nonetheless, she had her head screwed on. She was a very important person in modern dance, probably the single most important person in establishing the modern dance movement. In 1911, she came to see Vaughan Williams and also Gilbert Murray. She danced for both, of course, and she brought her brother, Augustus Duncan, known in the family as Gus. He was a producer of plays and was keen to put on some of Murray's translations, and they wanted music. So, although Bantock was also trying to do something at the same time, they met up with Vaughan Williams, and music for three plays was composed. At some point, Gilbert Murray, who hated music, declared himself satisfied with it. He actually said at one stage that music makes him want to howl. And there's a wonderful story that he came into a room where his children were playing a gramophone record and said, "It's amazing what rubbish these Americans will dance to." It was Beethoven's Seventh. So you couldn't really put our Gilbert down as musical. He was, by the way, a nephew of W.S. Gilbert, and he was a devotee of the operettas. He knew them more or less by heart from Uncle Schwenk, or is it Schwenk? I've no idea. So this was coming together, but Gus's productions never came off, and the music was not heard in public, I think. There was an occasion when the Royal Court Theatre had a production cancelled, so the theatre went dark for a week, and somebody quickly bags it the Friday night, and they put on a semi-private production, I think, of this music in the theatre. I don't know whether Gilbert Murray was there. I have not entirely proved to myself that he was back from America in time, although I've been through all his papers in the Bodleian. They were very helpful to me. I haven't quite worked out his diary for May 1912. What clearly happened is that there was a press preview which explained what the music was about, something new and not German and not French and not altogether Greek either. And I don't know who wrote the press release, but quite a few papers reproduced bits of it. I've got lots of press reports that this was going to happen on May the 31st. What I cannot find, and it's really frustrating, is the press report that tells me that a reporter was there and what happened. So I'm still looking. There are plenty of papers that have not been digitized and that I have not yet searched. So I'm hoping I might one day find a report of that performance in the Royal Court Theatre. So you've got this wonderful music with really, it's a complete waste of time, a lot of effort for no return whatsoever at the time. The music for all three plays, which are Electra, the Bacchae, and Iphigenia in Tauris, you need a mezzo soprano, and we recorded with Heather Lowe, who speaks as well as sings. You've got a soprano and alto chorus. We took that from the Joyful Company of Singers, and the chamber orchestra. We used Britten's Sinfonia. Iphigenia in Tauris is a romantic play. It begins in a tragic atmosphere, but comes to a happy end. Iphigenia is a haggard and exiled woman with intense longing for home and bitter rage against what she calls her murderers. You asked me about Bird of the Sea Rocks. In that scene, the soloist is introduced by a flute solo playing very freely, with no bar lines. And we find ourselves beside a calm sea as Iphigenia recalls a lost love, and the chorus joins in her song of mourning. Sister, I too beside the sea complain. The sea is heard throughout this scene, and it's interesting to remember that VW had not long completed a sea symphony when he wrote this. Iphigenia leaves the sea behind at the end of the scene as she longs to rise upon wings and watch over the joyful scene of a marriage dance, ending with a heartfelt cry to youth and the days that were. The music is as beautiful and powerful as anything that Vaughan Williams wrote, and I think it deserves a few modern performances.